Today we're going to conclude our series we've been doing for the last 7 weeks on God's vision for your life. How many want God's vision for your life? Let me ask that again. How many want God's vision for your life? We want God's vision. This is where the freedom comes. This is where the empowerment comes when we learn to line up according to God's word for His vision for our life. We see in Scripture a pattern that is brought forth, and this continual pattern that we see over and over again in Scripture is basically this, that we see that God's vision for our life is to see us saved, healed, set free, discipled, equipped, empowered, and serving. Last week we talked about empowered. We talked about receiving the Holy Spirit, that we need to come to a place of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our life, receiving the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Many of you prayed and submitted yourself to the Holy Spirit last week. And I mentioned to them last week that we are going to be doing a teaching on the Holy Spirit. After the first of the year, when we have a chance to get it right into our next series, after the first of the year, we're going to be doing a teaching, more in-depth talking about the role of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? Its role in our everyday life. That many of you come from a place where you didn't hear the Holy Spirit teached, or maybe you didn't understand it, or was taught that it's just not for today, or something to be afraid of. Let me say this to you once again. You don't have to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is something for us to be filled with, to empower us, and what God has intended for us. And fear has driven man to shy away from it because they're not just kind of fearful about how to explain it or what goes along with it. But we're going to take time to really get into it, and we'll dive into that and teach that after the first of the year. But you need to receive and submit yourself to the Holy Spirit to be empowered. Today, as we conclude, we're talking about God's vision for our life. We're going to be talking about, are you serving? Are you serving? Now, when you hear the word serving today, some of you are already thinking, so is he going to talk about servanthood today? And I say, no, I'm not going to talk about servanthood, even though it would make sense for you to think that. But today I want to talk more about your calling and your purpose in your life and using those things for what God wants to do in our life. Let's look at our text in 2 Timothy 1:9. And verse 8 is talking about the power of God. And we pick it up here in verse 9. It's talking about the power of God who has saved us and has called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. How many know that God has called to save us? He's called us the purpose and with grace. He has given us these things. I love this verse. But as you see this verse, I love what this verse starts with and ends with, saved and grace. How many know that we need to be saved and we need God's grace? Isn't that true? Two of the biggest things we need in our life. We need to be saved. He saved us, He's redeemed us, and He has given us His grace and mercy. We need both of these things. But sandwiched in between this, we see our calling and purpose is there. He saved us, given us His grace, but in between we find our calling and our purpose. And He has a calling and purpose for every one of us. Let's talk about our calling. Calling is what's in your hand. Everybody hold your hand up. Look at. Calling is what's in your hand. Purpose is what's in your heart. Big difference. Our calling is the things that God has placed in our hands that we can do, our gift set that He's given us, and our purpose is the things that we wish could happen. Our purpose is the things that if we could just pick anything that could do for God, anything to make advance the kingdom of God, if we could pick anything to do, that's our purpose. That's what's in our heart to do. There's a big difference here. Let's talk about it. In Colossians 1:17, it talks about the focus. It says that all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. It's basically saying this, that it's all about God. He says all things were created by Him and for Him. Now, what does it mean by saying all things? Are we included in that? Yes. We were made for God, and we were created for God, for Him, and for His purpose and for His calling. It's all about Him. We've got to realize it's all about Him. We're called for His purpose. We're called for a greater purpose than ourselves. Look at Ecclesiastes 3:11. I'm going to read the Amplified version. He has made us... Oh, that's Amplified. Come on. This really is the Amplified version, but you guys know me. I have to sometimes say that. Okay. Look what it says. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He also has planted eternity in men's hearts and the minds, a divinely implanted sense of purpose working through the ages, which nothing under the sun but God alone can satisfy. What the saying says that He has planted in every one of our hearts eternity. What simply means this, that this is how we know that we need a Savior. That He's planted in our hearts that we're something more to ourselves than what we're living for today. That we've got to give an account for eternity, how we live our life, the decisions we make, and where are we going to spend eternity. He's put that soul search within every person that's born. Not every person looks to God. Other people, they look to other things. They'll look to different false religions. They'll look to other habits, addictions. They look to things to fulfill a design of divine purpose. But inside all of us, there is a divine purpose to think about eternity. And not only is there a divine purpose to think about eternity, He's implanted in a sense of purpose in us. What simply means this, that when you become a Christian, that He has put within us a destiny that says, you know what, if I'm really a Christian, I want to advance God's purpose in eternity. If I'm really a Christian, I will have a desire not only to see myself saved, but to see other people around me and to take as many people as I can to heaven, right? There's a divine purpose in your heart to see eternity planted in our heart, and you want to share this message with other people. And so you say, well, I don't have that desire. Then I say, are you really saved? Oh, that's hard to imagine. Because when you're really saved, you take on God's purpose in your heart. You begin to struggle with it. Now, you may not always fulfill it, and you may say, you know what, I'm not very good at it. That's okay. But in our heart, there should be a divine sense of, you know what, I need to reach out beyond myself. Because we are naturally selfish people, aren't we? Right? Are we naturally selfish? What's the first word? One of the first words you ever learned as a baby? Mine, isn't it? Mine. Mine, mine, mine. And give it to me, and it's no. Because it's mine. No, and mine. Mine, 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 mine. You know, and that kid may not play with that toy for 6 months, but some other kid comes over and wants to play with it. Mine! It's just something that we're naturally selfish people by nature. But when God saves us, it helps us become unselfish and see, you know what, I've got to see the big picture beyond myself. I've got to see the big picture. I'm just not here existing for my salvation, which that's the first step. But when I walk in my salvation, I also know now that I am called according to God's purpose to advance the kingdom of God. It's the destiny that He's put in all of our heart. It's this divine purpose that He's placing there within us to advance God's kingdom. Think about Moses. You know Moses, the guy with the long beard and the white hair? You've seen the movie. Come on, Nick. Charlton Heston, you know what I'm talking about. Moses was there. And we know Moses was an Egyptian who was adopted into Pharaoh's family and raised in Pharaoh's court. And when he felt like God had called him to realize where he really had come from, he thought, God, you placed me in this court so I can set my people free. They had been slaves to Pharaoh for years and years and years. And so he felt like God had destined in his heart for them to be set free. And when he seen one of his fellow soldiers beating and abusing one of his Israelites, one of his, what happened? He killed him and murdered him, and he fled town, and he had to hide in the desert. So he's in the back side of the desert taking care of sheep. And God comes to him and says, Moses! Moses! He says, I want you to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses is like, God, is that really you? Who are you, man? And he's like, God, I can't do that. God, I can't do that. That's a job for somebody else. I can't be the person. He's thinking already, he's thinking of his past mistakes he had made. He can't go back there. He's also thinking, he says the word of God says, I'm slow of speech. That translates that many translations say he had a stuttering problem. Or maybe he had a speech impediment really bad. Either way, he was not a good speaker, and God was calling him to go and to be an elegant speaker. God was calling him to go and to speak to the king and be God's voice. And right away he says, God, I can't do it. And what did God say to him? He said, Moses, what's in your hand? He had his staff, his shepherd's staff there. He says, look at your hand. What's in your hand? I'm going to take that thing and I'm going to use it to set my people free. I'm going to use it to bring signs and wonders. I'm going to use it. You see, in Moses' heart, his desire, his purpose, he felt was to set his people free. But in his hand, he only had a staff. You see, when you use what's in your hand, God will bring to pass what's in your heart. But first of all, we got to learn to be good stewards of what's in our hand. So the question today is, what's in your hand? What's in your hand? God's going to use what's in your hand to fulfill what's in your heart. The best way to be fruitful with what God has put in your heart, how many have a dream that God's put in your heart? How many have things that you think about? If I could just do one thing, this is what I would love to do for God. Anybody got it? Just raise your hand. If I could just do one thing, I could, in my heart, I know, I would love to do this. If I could just do this full time, or if I could just do this all the time, I got this one thing I would love to do. This purpose is burning my heart. I would love to do it. But the best way to see that thing come to fruit and fruition in your life is to be fruitful for what God has put in your hand. When you're fruitful for what God has put in your hand, He will bring to pass what He's put in your heart. But the problem is this, that so many of people are asking, you know, how do I be faithful, man? How do I get this purpose in my heart? It starts with what's in your hand. You want to see God bring out what's in your heart, then be faithful for what's in your hand. He says those who are faithful over the small things, little things, He will make rulers over what? Over much. What's in your hand may seem like a little thing, and what's in your heart may seem like a big thing. And so our heart chases after the big thing, and we neglect the small thing that God's given us to do. We neglect what He's given us as a skill set now, and we focus on the big thing. But in order to see that take place, you've got to be faithful with what's in your hand now. Let's break it down in everyday terms. You can't say, I'll be a better supervisor when I can get another job. No, if you're not faithful over what you're over now, what makes you think you're going to get promoted to another job? I'll give more when God gives me a raise and I get a bigger salary. I'd love to give to the church and I would love to pay my tithes. I promise I'll be, if I could just get a raise. No, if you're not faithful over what He's put in your hand now, what makes you think He's going to bless you with more? I will do this. It's where you're at now. What are you doing now with what God has given you? What gifts are you using now that's in your hand that you're neglecting, and you're holding out for your purpose, but you're neglecting your hand? What's in your hand? This is where it starts. God uses me according to what I have and what I use in my hand. It's the parable of the talents. Those who used what they were given, God multiplied and gave more. Those who buried it and did nothing with it, God took away. So, in order for what to come out of my heart to happen, I've got to learn to be a good steward of what's in my hand. This is good preaching right here. This is going to save you a lot of problems right here. This is going to save you a lot of things in your life when you learn this principle that God wants me to be a good steward of what I have now. Okay? As I learn to take a baby step and say, God, I want to be better at this, even though I don't have the complete skill set, I want to begin to just, I can do this one thing this week. This one thing I can do better at. And as I get better at that, then I'll take another step. And God begins to use your faithfulness, and He blesses you, and He opens door to fulfill what's in your heart when you use what's in your hand now. Some people ask me, they say, what is my calling in life? I hear that so much. What's my calling? What's my calling? What's my calling? That's the question we all look for. What's my calling? This word calling in the Greek, it simply means the word shout. And so, what the problem is this, what is being shouted out at you in your spirit? When you're thinking about your calling, what's shouting out at you? See, we wait sometimes. I'm just waiting on the Lord. I'm just waiting on God to reveal to me my calling. I'm waiting for His still small voice to speak. The whole time, the thing that's in your hand is shouting out at you saying, hello! Use me! Use what I've given you! Why are you neglecting what I've given you and you're waiting for God to speak to you to use something else and you haven't used what's in your hand already? You see, it's what's shouting out at you, what's in your face. This is your calling in life. Your calling is what the thing that God has given you is a skill set. Look what James 1:17 says. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation of shadow of turning. Basically, what it's saying is this, that God doesn't create you one way. He doesn't gift you one way to turn around and use you a totally opposite way. Okay? He's not giving you giftings in certain areas to use and then want to use you a totally opposite way without and neglect those giftings. No, he's giving you those giftings for a reason. And you have gifts, and I have gifts, and they're all different. And when we use them together, we become a body. We become functioning church that's operating to the fullest potential because we're all operating and using what's in our hand. And when we use what's in our hand, God then will bring out what's in our heart. But it comes, are we using what's in our hand now? See, your calling is what you do. Your purpose is what you love. Let me say it again. Your calling is what you do. Your purpose is what you love. And the problem is this, that many times these two conflict very much. What's in your hand can be seen as work, the day-to-day thing. What's in my hand I'm skilled to do is the day-to-day thing, and I don't like to do that. I get paid to do that. I don't want to do that for God. I want to do something totally different. I've met people, and just for an example, this is one example. I've met people who were teachers of elementary students or preschool students. They're like, you know what? I teach preschool all week, and I'm not going to come to church. Get teach a kid's class. Why not? You're gifted at it. I understand that maybe you want to do something different. In your heart, you want to do something different. You want to break for that. But God has given you the gifting of teaching children. Why not teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ? If you've been given a gift set of teaching children, why not teach them the most important thing you can teach them? You see the difference. What's happening? But many times we see that as, well, you know, I want something totally different, though. But see, it's that act of obedience that God uses when we use what's in our hand that many times people take that and open up doors and lead us to doing what's really in our heart to do. But first of all, we've got to learn to do what's in our hand. We see what's in our heart as a noble thing. Many times we see what's in our hand as a selfish thing. This is kind of what I do for money. But in my heart, it's the noble thing. This is what if I could just pick one thing, this is what I'd love to do. Usually it's a very noble thing. It's a very big thing. This thing would bring a lot of change. This thing would help a lot of people. This thing in my heart would really make a big difference in the kingdom of God. This thing would make a big difference in families and children. This thing that God's put in my heart to do. It's a big thing. And so it conflicts because we don't want to focus on the thing that God's put in our hand because we're trying to focus on our purpose, what's in our heart. But the avenue to get there is what's in your hand. And we can't ignore that. What has God put in our hand today to use? And as we do that, then He brings out what's in our heart. He'll never skip over what's in your hand to get to your heart. He always uses people who are willing to use what they have now to fulfill His divine purpose. Even though it may be small, even though it may seem insignificant, He uses the heart of those who are willing to use what they have in their hand, and He brings about big things. We look at what's in our hand, and we often don't like it because it reflects who we are. Isn't that true? A lot of times we don't like ourselves, you know. Everybody's always wanting somebody else's job. Isn't that true? If I could just have Pastor Gene's job. All I had to do was just preach on Sunday mornings. Once a week. That would be awesome. The whole time Pastor Gene's thinking, boy, if I could just clock in 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, that would be awesome. I heard a story. A teacher recently was telling a story about the CEO and the janitor. How the janitor sits there and mops the floors of the company, looking at the CEO thinking, man, if I could just drive his car. Man, if I could just have his family. Man, if I could just live in his house. Man, if I could just have his salary. Man, if I could just have his office. Man, if I could just be president of this company. And he's whistling along the whole time wishing he was in the seat of the CEO. But he doesn't realize the CEO walks through and says, man, I wish I could just mop the floors. I wish I didn't have to be accountable to my board. I wish I didn't have to be accountable to the stockholders. I wish I didn't have those bills, that car payment, that house payment. I wish my marriage wasn't on the rocks. I wish people liked me for who I was and not my money. I'd do anything just to be able to come in and whistle and mop the floors. See, everybody's looking at somebody else. Everybody's wishing that somebody else. And see, in our heart, we want to do something different than who we are. We got to embrace that God has made me this way. God has gifted me this way. And this is where He's going to get the most glory, when I use what's in my hands. What has He given me to use? This is where I bring the most glory to God. And when I do that, He brings to pass the things in my heart. We like what's in our heart because it's the person we want to be. Many times it's the person we want to be. Many times we see what's in our hand as pressure, deadlines, things we do all the time. We see what's in our hand as a negative thing. We see what's in our hand as a way, this is what I got to do to make my living. This is what I have to do because I'm good at. But I really want to go after what's in my heart because that's the way I'll be fulfilled in my life. We need to stop seeing what's in our hand and what's in our heart as conflict, because they go hand in hand. We've got to stop seeing what's in our hand as a bad thing and say what's in our hand is a good thing. What's in our hand is what God wants to use. What's in our hand is what God has gifted me to use. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about people in our life who have been able to marry the two. And I was thinking of U2's frontman Bono, one of the greatest bands in the last 30 years. Is U2. Any U2 fans in here? Anybody like U2? Okay, all right. U2. U2? You like U2? Okay. U2. U2, Bono, and he had a desire to help stop poverty and to help orphans in Africa. And he had made enough money in his life where he could very easily just stop and went and just work full-time just helping people in Africa. But instead of stopping doing what was in his hand, he used what was in his hand to fund and to see even a greater impact. So now through his concerts, through his music, because of his social status, because of things he has, he's using his platform to bring awareness of poverty in Africa. And he's sending millions and millions of dollars to help feed children, to build orphanages, to help bring people out of poverty. He's doing so much more by using what's in his hand to do what's in his heart. Instead of just throwing that away and saying, I'm just going to go out there and just work in an orphanage somewhere. He's making a much greater impact. And the thing that's in his heart is coming out. What's in your hand that God wants to use? What's in your hand that God wants to use now to fulfill what's in your heart? God's wanted to use. Don't see it as a bad thing. See it as a good thing. Real quickly today, let me give you a couple of keys to fulfilling what's in your heart. Number one, you've got to get a revelation of who you are. You must see a revelation of who you are. Psalms 139:13-14. For you formed me in my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You got to get a revelation of who you are, that I am God's gift, and that He's seen me in the womb. Let me tell you this. You are not an accident. I don't care what anybody's ever told you in your life. You are not an accident. That God has got a purpose for your life. And while you were still in the womb, He has a purpose in your heart. He has purposed your life. He's destined your heart and your life for a purpose. You mean something to God. You're a divine creation of Almighty God. What is He put in there? You've got to have a revelation of who you are. You know, I like this show, American Idol. Anybody ever seen American Idol? You ever watch this show? It'll be one of those popular shows in the last 10 years. We always like to get around and kind of pick who's going to win. I like the ones when they try out. You like the ones when they try out? I don't know. There's something about me that loves telling the truth to people. And people who think they can sing and they really just are tone deaf. You know what I'm talking about? And all along, the mom would say, oh, you're good. Yeah, you're good. Get try out. And they just are tone deaf. I mean, it's horrible. Parents, the best thing you can do for your kids sometimes is just be honest. Tell them, play in the band. Don't sing, okay? Not everybody can sing. I'm not that great of a singer, okay? I get by. But, you know, you're not going to see me doing any solos up here on Sunday morning. The church would split. It'd be a bad thing. And I love it when Simon tells somebody, you know, I know it's kind of cruel, but I love that he has the guts to say, listen, you're in the wrong business, dude. That was horrible. You know, and everybody else was like, ah! I was like, I remember one time I was at a youth camp. And they were doing this youth camp idol, and they asked me to be judge. I was like, I don't want to do that. Please, no, you'll be honest. That's a lie. And so they had these kids get, the teenagers get it up, and of course they know ahead of time. You sign up, it's like American Idol. If you're bad, you're going to be told you're bad. If you're good, we told you good. And so I had kids get up, who just, man, they were just horrible. I'm just, it's not even close, okay? I mean, bad. And I would look at them and say, have you ever considered puppet ministry? You know, and I'm like, God says, make a joyful noise. That was bad. It wasn't good. God's not happy with that, I promise you. This, you know, this is no lie. I'd have counselors, pastors coming up. Hey, Pat, thank you so much for saying it. We've been trying to tell them that for 2 years, you know. We're glad somebody finally told them the truth. You know, really, we got to get a revelation of who we are. And we got to, sometimes we get this dream thing of what's in our heart out there, and we try to live there. We got to get a revelation. This is who I am. What's in my hand? These are the cards I'm dealt. When I look in the mirror, this is where I'm at. It ain't going to get any prettier, okay? This is it. I'm not going to get any taller. This is it. This is who I am. I'm not going to sing any better. This is who I am. I got to realize this is who I am, and I got to embrace it. Because there's some things I can do that you can never do. There's some things you can do that I can never do. Just reverse. You see, it's all right. We got to have a revelation of who we are. And I'm fearfully, wonderfully made, and God loves me just as much as He loves you. And God loves this side just as much as He loves that side. And God loves you as much as He loves the singers on the stage. And He loves everyone here the same, and He's gifted us with different giftings. It's time we have a revelation of seeing ourselves of who we are and embrace that and not run from that. And quit trying to be somebody you're not and be the person God's called you to be so He can take you to the person He wants you to be. Now, that's a good preaching right there. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what they say. That's good. All right. Number two, you got to get a revelation of the church. Know what it means to be the church. We got to get a revelation of what the church really is. Not what it means to go to church, but a revelation of what it means to be the church. Serving is not something that we do for the church. Serving is something we are. Our life's about serving. Jesus came to serve us. He came and served His disciples. He served us as an example and told us to follow. We are called to serve. That's who we are as a church. Look at Psalms 92. It says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Everybody say flourish. Those who are planted in God's house. How do you become planted? Begin to use the things that God's given you. Those people shall flourish in God's courts. You want to grow? You want to see things come out of you that God's put in you? Then get planted in God's house. Use, serve. Use the gifts that God's given you. Tommy Barnett preached a famous message, and it's called, It's in the House. This whole title of the message basically has to do with everything that God needs is in the house. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's in the house. Come on. Turn to your other neighbor and be loud and say, it's in the house. Let me tell you this. Everything that God needs to reach our community is found in the house. Everything God needs for the church to grow is in the house. Everything God needs to see His work fulfilled is in the house. It's here. It's here. We got to quit waiting. God, when you send somebody else, God, when you... No, God has sent you and the giftings you have and I have, and when we use what God has put in our hand, He will send more and fulfill what's in our heart to fulfill. When we first started Destiny Church, we were meeting at the Holiday Inn, and we were there, and I'll tell you what, we were in a room that was could fit in these four pillars right here, the front four pillars right here. The first room we met right here could fit right here, and the stage took up half that. No lie. The stage took up half that room. But you know what? That stage was symmetrical. I had things up there just right. Those chairs, all three rows, were lined up perfect. Spaced out evenly. And the praise team would be up there practicing. I'd be walking, freaking up, and laughing at me. I'm like, why are you stressing out? Because we're going to make this thing the best we can do. We didn't have a lot. We didn't have much. But what we had, we gave it the best we had. We didn't have two dimes to rub together hardly, but we gave it everything we had. We gave it everything we had. And God opened up this facility. And we moved in. We didn't have a lot of money for decorating. But well, we did the best we could, and we made it happen. We used what was in our hands, and we treated it. And so when you see what's going on up here, it's because we have a vision to reach much more. And we're going to do the best we can with what we have. God deserves the very best we can give Him. He deserves the very best we can give Him. And we're faithful with what we do have, then He'll take it and advance it. Remember me standing up here, one of the first services I told you, I said, what it looks like now, it's not going to look like in a couple of years. We're going to grow. We're going to multiply. We're going to have multiple services. We're going to have giant screens. Back then, we barely had, and we were laughing the other day, I was looking at, we had these crosses that were made up of these little bee things back here in the back, hanging up by the Welcome Center. We had those things with some colored paper behind them, making a cross. I mean, that was our backdrop. But you know what? It was the best we had, and we made it work. And God took what we had, and He multiplied. Because we're not afraid to use what's in our hand. Stop sitting around waiting for something better to come along. Say, God, I'm going to use what I have now. Got to use what we have. Get a revelation of the church. Get a revelation of yourself. You got to have a revelation in closing. Get a revelation of the kingdom. We got to have a revelation of the kingdom. It's the cause of Christ that we're called to advance. John 18:37 says, Pilate therefore said to Jesus, talking to Jesus, are you the king then? And Jesus answered, look what he says, rightly, I am the king for this cause. For this cause. For this cause I was born. And for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witnesses of truth to everyone of the truth that hears my voice. John 12:27 says, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. It's the cause of Christ. We got to get a revelation of the kingdom of God and realize that my cause, what's in my hand, is to advance the kingdom of God. For this reason I was born, for this gifting I was given, that I can advance the kingdom of God. I got to see, this is the gift that God has given me. This is who I am. I got to quit living in la-la land and say, this is what I've been given to work with. I'm going to use it for God's glory. I'm going to let God multiply it. It may stink, but God specializes in taking stinking things and multiplying them. Get a couple stinking fish and fed 5,000 men. He can take stinking things and multiply them and use them when we use them for His glory. Don't be afraid to start with what you have in your hand. It will also lead to what's in your heart. Our musicians are coming this morning. So that's the question. The question is, what's in your hand? What's in your hand today? What has God put in your hand? Everybody just take your hands out and look at them. Come on, let's do that. Just take both your hands and look at them. Say, God, what have you put in my hand? What have you put in my hand, God, to use? What have you put in my hand to use? God has got things in your hand that you're not using. He's given you abilities that you use. And we're so focused many times on what's in our heart that we forget what's in our hand. But this whole thing about serving God's plan for my life is His plan is always to be to use what's in my hand. And as we do that faithfully, He'll bring about what's in your heart. Your purpose. It happens time and time again. I've seen it. I shared the story in the first service. I called John Black up here. He was in here the first service. And Thursday night, I was at the junior high school. And as I was there for our students program for my kids, I had a program going on. And I was sitting up in the nosebleed section of the bleachers. And John had gotten there really early, and he was sitting on the floor, prime time seats. And this family came up and sat right behind me, and he started talking really loud. Of course, like any of us, I eavesdropped in our conversation. And so I was listening to them talk. And they pointed down the floor. So see that guy down there? His name's John. John Black. He's one of the janitors over at the high school. He is so cool. Everybody likes him because he's always coming by and encourages us, always telling people how much Jesus loves them. He's always coming to them and asking about their day. And so he's a really cool guy. Everybody loves him.
And they spoke up and they said, I think he's the pastor over there at Destiny Church.
I chuckled inside, didn't correct him, of course, just chuckled inside, and I text John that little story. But you know what? I told John this morning, I said, you know, John, you would love to be pastoring a church. In your heart, you would love to be pastoring a church of 1,000 people. I know John's heart. He would love to be pastoring a church of 1,000 people right now. That would thrill him to death. But because he's doing what's in his hand, he's reaching 1,000 people, students of the gospel, all the time, every day.
Every day. Isn't that awesome? Yeah.
Because he's doing what's in his hand. In return, God's doing what's in his heart. What has God put in your hand that you're not using? Let's bow our heads this morning.
Before we go any further here today, I just want to ask you this question I asked you this morning. And maybe you're like the three people who raised your hands this morning at the first service and said, you know what, I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You're talking about eternity. You're talking about getting yourself ready for God's divine purpose. And first of all, Pastor Gene, I need to believe that Jesus Christ died for me on the cross. He's here to forgive me my sins. And today I want to make him the Lord of my life. If you've never prayed that prayer before, or maybe you prayed it a long time ago, and today you say, Pastor, I've been so far away from God, I want to come back and just renew my commitment to him. Either way, if you're here, I will not embarrass you in any way. But can you just raise your hand where you're at and say, Pastor, it's me today? I want to pray that prayer out. Thank you. Anybody else today, you want to join us? I'm ready. Thank you. Anybody else today, I want to join these people today, accepting Jesus Christ. Had a man here today, been coming for a long time. He's been coming for about 3 or 4 months, and today was his day. Raised his hand, tears flowing down his face, big, rough, tough guy. Walked out here crying today, said, Pastor, today was my day. Today was my day. If today's your day, don't let it pass you by. One more time, if you haven't raised your hand, just raise your hand. That's me. Today's my day. Today's my day. We're going to say this prayer, and I want those who raised your hands, I want you to say this out loud, because the rest of us Christians here this morning, we're going to join you in this prayer. Let's say it together. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I confess you as Lord of my life. I invite you to take charge of my life. From this day forward, I will live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Raise your hands and pray that prayer. Welcome. The family of God, we say congratulations. Listen, now, this is just a start, okay? When you raise your hands and do a salvation prayer, it's just the start of a new journey. Make sure before you leave today, you stop by in the back and grab one of our packets. It's got a free Bible, some other things to tell you what to do next in your walk with God. If you don't have a home church, you need to be implanted in a home church with people who can encourage you and help teach you. If you don't have a home church, we'd love to have you here and love on you and be a part of your life. The rest of us, I'm going to invite you to stand this morning where you're at. How many today say, Pastor, as you're preaching today, I realize I've got to learn to do a better job of using what's in my hand. Anybody else can raise your hand? Say, that's me. Come on, let's be real today. How many here can say, that's me, Pastor? I got to learn to use what's in my hand. I got to quit using what's in my heart and wait for that to happen. I got to start using what's in my hand right now. Yeah. Can you imagine the impact? Raise your hands again. Can you imagine the impact of these hands? Raise your hand. That's you. If every one of these hands were doing what God has gifted you to do, can you imagine the impact we would have not only in this church, but this community? Can you imagine the impact we would have? Can you imagine the purpose that God would bring out? I'm telling you, this is what God is wanting for our life. This is God's vision for our life, that we use the things that God is wanting to call for. I want you to raise your hands one more time. I'm going to pray for you. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, Lord, you have designed destiny. You planted destiny in every one of our hearts today. And God, I pray that with our hands raised, as we say, Father, we want to learn to use what's in our hand, that you can bring out what's in our heart. That God will stop focusing and waiting upon the big thing and begin to use the small things you've given us with. We'll stop waiting and looking beyond the next hill and say, God, where are we at right now? Whether it be the mountaintop, whether it be the valley, God, we're going to use where we're at right now for your kingdom, to advance your kingdom, God, for your purpose. And Father, with our hands raised, we declare that, God, we are giving you our whole life today. God, we're giving you everything we are today, Lord. We submit our will to yours. We give you our hands, our feet, our mouth, our giftings. God, whatever you choose for us to do, God, we say yes to that. And God, may we put into action the giftings you've given us, God, to advance the kingdom of God. And we say together, amen.
Come on, let's sing this song together in closing. Our God is greater.
Water you turn into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our
God, God, I will use what you've given me. Amen. Today, we thank you so much for being here. I trust that you guys have a great, great Thanksgiving holiday. Please travel safe. Enjoy your time. Have a great Thanksgiving. God bless you.
And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with